Now, let me give you a few examples of the sort of thing I mean. But before I do that, just a few definitions, or at least explanations. I've spoken of symbol, of myth and legend and ritual. These are all parts of the same language. One could also add poetry and parable and so on. I may, later on in the retreat, speak about psychology of ritual. So I'm not going to say anything about ritual at the moment. I'm going to concentrate for the present more on myth and legend. Now, the two terms, myth and legend, are very often used synonymously, rather loosely, and in this way confused. Most people think myths and legends mean sort of stories of ancient gods and heroes, rather like you find in Homer, and so on. But strictly speaking, a myth usually, at least often, explains the origin of a certain object or a certain custom. For instance, take the Prometheus myth from Greek mythology. Prometheus is supposed to have stolen fire from heaven. And this is a myth to explain the origin of fire. Where did fire come from? Primitive man didn't have fire, except by accident. How did he learn about fire? How did he learn how to make it? Well, there's a myth to explain that. A kind god, a titan called Prometheus, he stole it from heaven because fire is in the sky in the form of the sun and the stars and so on. So he stole it from heaven and he brought it down to earth. That is how man got the blessing of fire. So the Prometheus myth explains the origin of fire. A legend, on the other hand, is sort of pseudo-history. Myth is not really history at all, but not even in form. But the legend is a sort of pseudo-history. It purports to be historical, speaks about kings and battles and so on, but it doesn't really correspond to anything which we can regard as historical fact. For instance, until only a few hundred years ago in this country, it was believed, there was a legend to the effect that Britain was named after Brutus, and that Brutus had come and he had founded a kingdom here, and Britain was called Britain after Brutus. But this was only legend, it was pseudo-history, like King Arthur and his knights. I hope I'm not disillusioning anybody about these things. So a myth, on the other hand, is not really history at all. A myth represents, as it were, psychological experiences and spiritual truths in terms of historical events. It's in this sense, for instance, that the fall of man is a myth. This is not the Christian interpretation, of course, but if we look at the fall of man as a myth, what does it mean? It means we're not to take it literally. We're not to think that so many thousands of years ago there was a man called Adam who lived in a garden called the Garden of Eden, which you can actually find on the map if you look hard enough, and that this Adam ate an apple which he'd been commanded not to eat, and because he was disobedient he fell, and this was the fall of man. And it used to be believed in all seriousness by everyone in all the Christian countries until up to 100 years ago only, that this was historic fact. It's very difficult for us to grasp this nowadays because there's been such a revolution in our ideas. But until as recently as 100 years ago, the fall of man, Adam eating the apple, was a historical fact which no one seriously questioned. I myself am not all that old, but I remember not so many years ago meeting a farmer in Devonshire who was astounded when I told him that Adam was not a historical person and refused to believe it. He said, no, it's all there in the good book. And yes, it gives the date in the margin of some Bibles, 5004 BC. That's Adam's date. And some theologians worked out the exact day of the week on which he ate the apple and the hour of the day. So it was plain it was all historical fact. But this myth of the fall of Adam isn't a historical fact at all. Got nothing to do with anything that ever happened in time. It refers to something which is taking place all the time. When we don't listen to the dictates of our higher nature, we follow the dictates of the lower nature, this is the fall of man. And it didn't happen 5,005 years ago. It might have happened 5 minutes ago, or might have happened 5 seconds ago, or it might be happening at this very minute. So the story, the myth of the fall of man, represents or embodies a spiritual truth, a psychological truth, which is eternally valid. It doesn't represent a historical fact. It tells us a truth about human nature, a truth about every man and every woman. It doesn't purvey a mere historic fact. Now, I'm going to take this evening some examples of Buddhist myth from the life of the Buddha, to give you some examples of this sort of non-conceptual, mythical approach on the part of Buddhism to the heart of man, to the unconscious depths. Some examples, in other words, of this language of myth.